What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Remember, it is meant to be a supplement to your retirement. You don't want it to be your single largest source of income in retirement. That's just not as comfortable.
Hello, our lovely listeners and readers. We wanted to let you know we are moving our newsletter over to Substack, and we are very excited to now be offering a paid option on Substack for subscribers in order to get exclusive content. That exclusive content is going to involve both podcast and newsletters, and the newsletter will provide supporting documentation for those topic-specific podcasts. Our objective with offering the paid version is in order to provide the listeners, you and the readers, also you, who are interested in a higher level of personal finance, the opportunity to find that within our show. This week's episode is just an overview of what you might find on our upgraded version. This week, I discuss the history of Social Security, who is eligible for it, and what was the intention behind creating it. I think it's a lot more complex than most people realize. I think it's a wonderful program. And so you should check out that episode to hear more about Social Security. Guest interviews will continue to be free as they have been in the past. And if you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please let us know. We'd love to have you on. And we really appreciate all of your support in the pod over the last 8 years. So this is our way to offer an upgraded exclusive option for the podcast. So it'll involve dedicated episodes and also the newsletter, where we're going to be doing more exclusive content and deeper dives on various personal finance topics in order to help improve the financial education that we're offering on the show. So if you'd like to check it out, we would love to have you. You can find more details on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com.
Hello, and welcome to Planential's podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And this season, for season 8, we are going to do some more deep dives onto specific topics regarding retirement and other financial concepts to help improve everyone's financial literacy, which is ultimately the goal of our podcast. As you probably know, our podcast is produced by an all-female team, Alex, Amy, and myself, with the objective of helping to improve financial literacy amongst women. But anyone and everyone can listen, because the more we improve our financial literacy, the more we can improve our own financial lives. And that is ultimately the goal of our podcast and why we work on this in our free time. None of this, we don't do any of this as a full-time gig. We produce this on our free time, nights and weekends, because we really feel very passionate about helping improve financial literacy and put out really substantial financial education. And so this season, we are going to be bringing you more deep dives and concentrated podcasts. They're going to be shorter, but we're going to dive into specific topics. So one topic that has come up really recently, and I've been asked a lot, is Social Security going away? So my answer to that is, I do not believe that Social Security is going away. We are going to talk about one
major change that happened that started this year in 2025. But let's first talk a little bit about the history of Social Security. I think there's a lot of misconceptions around Social Security. And my personal opinion is that Social Security needs a good rebrand and some better marketing around it, because there's a lot of misconceptions and false information out there about Social Security. And I'm a huge fan of Social Security, and I do not believe it's going away. I do believe that given the time that it's been around, it absolutely needs some repair. I think if you think about Social Security as if it was a house, if you were to have built a house and never or done very little on maintenance for your house for 90 years, then obviously there would need to be some things that would need to get done. So there haven't been very dramatic changes to Social Security throughout the history of it. But let's dive into when it started. So if we go back in time, all the way back to 1929, that was the start of the longest and worst downturn in the history of the United States. And so it's commonly referred to as the Great Depression. It obviously started with a stock market crash and then continued on, finally ending during World War II in 1941. But it was a terrible time in our history. And so the concern was there were a lot of vulnerable people living below the poverty line. Also, for individuals who are working during that time, they didn't want to retire, because why would you leave a well-paying job, or even a paying job, maybe not even well-paying, but why would you leave a job where you had income then to go and be, homeless or below the poverty line? So people were not leaving the workforce, which that always causes a problem for younger people trying to get into the workforce. If people aren't leaving, then there's not enough jobs. So this was during FDR's presidency. And so he signed into legislation what is referred to as Social Security, but the actual name for the program is the Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance Program. It is currently the federal government's largest single program. It is a huge program. And it was designed to take care of a slew of problems. It is commonly referred to as Social Security, which is referred to as what you get when you retire, right? That check that you're going to be sent by the government for retirement. But when it was signed into law, it was to address a multitude of problems. One being if you get disabled, right? What happens if you get disabled? At that point before Social Security, there was really nothing. What happens for survivors? So if you lose a spouse, because back in the day, if we think more traditionally, there might be, the man might be working, the woman staying home with the children. And if your husband passed away, then what happened to you and your children? Back during that time in history, there were orphanages. And so I know with my family's history, my great uncle came from an orphanage. He lived in an orphanage. That was common. And if you think about it today, in today's environment, and in your society or your community that you live in, there are very few orphanages. I don't personally know anyone that lives in an orphanage. I didn't know anybody in school that lived in an orphanage. But back then, in that time frame, there were people that lived in orphanages, including my great uncle, who eventually, I don't know if he was ever formally adopted by my family, but he used to follow my grandfather home from school. And eventually he became a family member. I don't know formally or not. And so he was my great uncle Jimmy, and Uncle Jimmy grew up in an orphanage or spent part of his life in an orphanage. I also have another uncle, and I think two of his siblings, when their father died, went to the orphanage because the mother couldn't provide for all of the children. And so she kept a couple of the children, and the other children went to the orphanages. So it also was meant to provide a minor child and survivor benefit to prevent that type of situation where if you lost the income earning spouse, that the minor children and the survivor had enough money to take care of themselves. So it provided for old age, which is commonly referred to as the retirement benefit, which is really what is talked about today, not sort of the other aspects of Social Security. The survivor benefit then has a minor child benefit
baked into it as well. And then disability insurance, because that was another issue back then where there was no coverage. So if you get disabled, you can also get a disability benefit from Social Security. I will say that Social Security disability is harder to get than, let's say, if you had a private policy for disability, short-term or long-term disability. But there is a disability benefit and you can get it. It just takes a period of time to go through the process for the eligibility and then to finally get the claim. And so when this was signed into law, it was intended to be a supplement for retirees. It is and has never been meant to be your sole source of income. Sadly, for some retirees today, it is the single largest source of income for retirees. There are some people that rely completely on their Social Security benefit, but that was never what it was intended for. It was meant to be a supplement to help get you into retirement and to keep the elderly above the poverty line. And so what's really interesting is now with today's life expectancy, people are living longer and longer. I'm sure if you think about your family structure or your family, you know, family friends, you probably know somebody who is 90 years old or who's lived to be 90. And you probably also know someone who's lived to be over 95 and maybe even 100 years old. And so what I think is really interesting is if you think about this program, it's been around about 90 years. And back when it was signed into law, the life expectancy was quite different back then. I think the most fascinating part about life expectancy back then was there are two types of life expectancy at birth, and then life expectancy once you reached adulthood. And so back when Social Security was created, or OASDI, which is the official name, Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance Program, the life expectancy at birth for a man was 58 years old, and for a woman, it was 62. And the collection age or the retirement age of Social Security at that point was 65 years old. So I think it's really fascinating that when they created this, life expectancy was so different than it is today, and that the collection age was 65, but life expectancy at birth was 58 for men and then 62 for women. Now, if you look on Social Security's website and you go through their history, they will say that they did not consider life expectancy at birth because there was a high infant mortality and individuals died during childhood. So for instance, I'm named after my aunt and she died in childhood of polio. And so that was a lot more common back then, that you did not survive even, you know, as an infant, or you didn't survive as a child. And so they use life expectancy at adulthood, which was a different life expectancy. But once again, it still wasn't nearly as good as it is today, you know, with the improvements that we have in healthcare and in technology, people are living longer and longer. And so that is, I probably think, one of the main reasons they need to adjust Social Security, because now if you collected 65 as a female, it's very possible you live to 95 and beyond. And so your collection from Social Security could be 30 years. And back then, it...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
was probably, you know, between 15 and 12 years that you would be collecting Social Security. So the collection is significantly longer than when this program was created. So I think that's one of the really fascinating aspects of Social Security. But let's talk a little bit about who can collect Social Security, since I think in the media and from what I hear from people, most people just think of it as the retirement benefit, and it is a lot more than just retirement. So let's dive into who is eligible to collect from Social Security, and then we'll talk about how is it actually paid, because I think that's another item that people don't think about. And so in order to be eligible for Social Security, you need to have a minimum of 40 work credits. And so what that works out to be is 10 years of earnings. And then for the retirement aspect, they take the highest of your 35 years. So if you have years that you were not working, like you, let's say, for instance, you went back to school, so you had no earnings while you were getting your MBA or you went to law school, or you decided to be a stay-at-home parent. So those 0 years will fall off. They're going to take the highest of your 35 years of earnings in which you paid into Social Security. But you need to have 40 credits is the minimum, which works out to be approximately 10 years of work to be entitled to receive Social Security retirement benefits. So in terms of who can collect, right? So you can collect as the eligible worker, the individual who paid into Social Security. You can collect as the spouse of an eligible worker. So if you were a stay-at-home parent the whole time and you didn't have many earnings, or maybe you never had a position, you got married very young and you stayed at home, you can collect as the spouse of the eligible worker. You can collect as a former spouse of an eligible worker. So for instance, you were married, you meet the criteria, and you got divorced. As long as you meet the criteria, you can collect on your former spouse's work record. You can collect as a survivor, meaning your spouse passed away. So think about it from this perspective. You can collect as current spouse, former spouse, or on a deceased spouse. And you can also collect on a former deceased spouse. A little more complicated, but that's also an option as well. So there's a lot of collection options. And then it is also, as we talked about, not only collecting as a retirement benefit or as a survivor benefit, there's also the minor child benefit that's available. And then disability is available as long as you're fully insured on Social Security. So there's a few different ways you can collect on Social Security, and that's where this can get a bit confusing. So in order to be eligible, you need to be paying into Social Security, and that works out to be 6.2% from your pay goes into your Social Security, and then 1.45% goes into your medical for retirement, which is commonly referred to as Medicare. Now, your Medicare, you're going to pay on all of your wages, but on Social Security, you're going to pay up to the wage base. So the wage base changes every year slightly, but this year for 2025, you're going to pay the 6.2% on your earnings up to $176,100. Your 1.45% that's going to go towards your Medicare is going to be paid on all wages. There's no cap on that. And that is your contribution. Your employer is going to match that. So your contribution is the 6.2% for Social Security and the 1.45% for Medicare, which works out to be 7.65% total coming out of your paycheck going into this program. Now you, if you're self-employed, you're going to pay both sides, but normally if you work for an employer, you pay that side and then your employer matches that. So the total amount that is going towards your retirement, your Social Security benefit, and your medical expenses in retirement is 15.3%. So if we think about it, I often, and when we listen to guests on the show, we have great guests. So oftentimes guests are saving 15%, maybe even 20% towards retirement. But I'm sure you've read online that you can only do 10%, and you can. But if you think about it, 10%, you're not doing quite as much as what your combined contribution would be between the employee your employee and employer contribution to your future Social Security and medical benefit, which is 15.3%. So that's why when I am talking about retirement, I like to see your own savings being greater than what is being mandated by the government at 15.3%. So ideally, you want to be doing 15, or you want to be doing a little bit more. And then that way, considering the Social Security benefit, you should be in a good spot. Because remember, it is meant to be a supplement to your retirement. You don't want it to be your single largest source of income in retirement. That's just not as comfortable. But I think it's really interesting. If you look at your pay, you will see it's commonly referred to FICA taxes. We have all these acronyms in finance, which makes it confusing. But you will see the amount going out for Social Security, and you'll see the amount going out for Medicare. Now, if you're self-employed, you are responsible for the full 15.3%. You need to be covering both sides of that, meaning you are, if you're self-employed, you're the employee and you're the employer. So you have to do both sides of it. If you're an individual who works in a cash business, or you are not what we call on the books, this is what you're missing out on. And oftentimes people prefer to be in a cash business because they don't have to pay taxes. And one of the downsides of that is if you don't plan accordingly, you could miss out on, or you most likely will miss out on, your Social Security, and also you could miss out on the Medicare. So you want to make sure that you are on the books. And if you're going to do cash, you just want to make sure that you're aware that you're not getting Social Security credits for those payments. It has to be logged and usually going through payroll, or if you're self-employed, making sure that you're paying both sides of your Social Security and your Medicare. So 15.3% might not seem like a lot to you, which is why I like to compare it relatively to what you're saving for your own retirement. But with the life expectancy that we've talked about being so much greater than when this program was created, as a married couple, if you are both contributing to Social Security throughout your earning careers, called the accumulation stage, and then when you do go to collect Social Security at retirement, between a married couple with normal life expectancy, so if you live into your late 80s, maybe even early 90s, as a household, you could collect well over $1 million from Social Security. So Social Security is a very important piece of retirement. And I do believe it is important to consider a strategy with Social Security, not to just collect as soon as you're eligible, but to think about why you're collecting and how you're collecting and how it will affect yourself and or your household. I think it is a lot more important as a household to consider what the benefits look like and how you're going to collect versus a single individual where you have only one benefit available. As a household, there's two benefits. So I do think having a Social Security collection strategy is very important going into retirement, given how much you could potentially collect over two life expectancies in retirement with the Social Security benefits. And so to give you an idea, the number of individuals that are currently collecting from Social Security today in all aspects of available Social Security benefits is 67. There are currently 67 million people who are collecting Social Security benefits. So it's just a ton of people. So I think the number is about 1 in 5 US residents receive Social Security benefits, obviously the majority being older adults, and then the rest are either Social Security disability recipients or survivors, right, minors of deceased workers. So this is a huge program. And so when people say, oh, Social Security is going to go away, well, then 67 million people have a huge problem. And 1 in 5 Americans are receiving some form of Social Security. That is a big number. And the statistic on who relies on it the most is 40% of older Americans rely on Social Security for more than 50% of their household income. So this is a really important benefit for people receiving it. And as I said, it's not only the retirement benefit, but it is a survivor benefit, a minor child benefit, and also a disability benefit. So it's a fascinating program. We are going to do other podcasts about Social Security and get get into some more of the details around it, but this is your high level overview of Social Security. So it started during the Great Depression. It's meant to be more than a retirement benefit. There's a lot of different ways you can collect, including as the eligible worker paying in, the spouse of an eligible worker, the former spouse of an eligible worker, on a deceased spouse worker's benefit and a former deceased spouse worker's benefit, a minor child, and disability benefit. So it really encompasses a lot. I think it was a really well-written program. Obviously, they need to do some things to fix it. And I'm going to do a quick, short little episode on the Social Security Fairness Act, which just went into effect here in 2025, that repealed two provisions of Social Security. So I'll just do a quick little segment on that. So if you do fall into that area of Social Security, if you're under the GPO or the WEP, you can find out what the Social Security Fairness Act did. But yes, this is our little deep dive into the history of Social Security. We'll get into more of it next time, but I hope you found this interesting. And if you have questions on retirement pertaining to any aspect of retirement, Social Security, pension, retirement income strategy, order of operations, write us in. You can reach out to us on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, and we will be answering all your questions. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.